Shumigin Corporation. Your,
you're a member of the board.
Righto. Your share in the corporation is worth X many dollars, right? Do you see it? How are you going to spend it? You going to shingle your roof? Answer this question.
What difference would it make how I spent it?
Yeah, okay. That's beside the point. What are you going to do with it then? Put it in the bank?
If you don't spend it?
Well, I might make a trip around the world if I got enough. I like to travel.
When are you going to get it?
I don't know.
Okay, neither do I. That's the question. Where do we realize any value in this gift, this grant that we got from the federal government?
You have that choice, and you can
see. Yeah, okay, here we are. Now, if you want to realize anything from it, then you sell it, or you get into some business where you make a big profit and you can get declare a dividend, right? We don't see the likelihood of making a hell of a lot of money, do we? Now, you talk about complaints, I'm complaining. We received something that we can't spend or use or realize. Thank you.
My question is, okay, say that it came in 1991 that the land was, that all the shareholders would get a chunk of land. How are they going to divvy out the land to each shareholder? Is it going to be a pick out of the hat type of deal, or what's going to happen there?
Well, what you get in 1991 is the right to sell your shares. You can't sell them now.
Yeah, where's my share going to be on a pop-off head here over in Corvin? Or
No. All you get is the right to sell your share in the corporation, and someone then buys your share, the piece of paper that says you're a shareholder. The corporation still continues and still owns the land at pop-off or over here, and you walk away having sold your shares to Mr. McMullen or Mr. Gunderson. They've given you some money. They now have more shares.
I see.
And you've got some money, and as Mr. McCullum says, you go and shingle your roof or do whatever you want to do.
There's going to be enough for that, I don't think.
Yes, Mrs. McCullum.
Will the individual corporations be able to put their own restrictions on the sale of these shares, or will that be decided?
Well, right now, not many people realize it, but right now, the corporations could impose restrictions that would go this far, that you couldn't sell, restrictions that go this far. You can sell after 1991, but your family or the corporation itself gets the first right of refusal, the right to buy them back. Well, that would have to be at fair market value, so that's the only restriction they could impose at present. But some of the proposals that are being made include such things as prohibiting you from selling your shares at all, or at least if you sell them to a person who is not a native person, then that person who buys the shares gets the shares but doesn't have the right to vote in the corporation, the idea being to preserve the native majority, even if the shares fall into non-native hands. Now, that raises a problem. Can you sell, assuming your corporation has some value, assets that are valuable, and the shares have value, can you find somebody to buy them if he doesn't get the right to vote in the corporation, that is, if he's a non-native? Those are some of the ideas that are being proposed. But right now, in your corporations here, if this were 1991, to put it, or 1992 is when it happens, you could start selling your shares without any restrictions. Now,
unless they decide.
Well, the only restriction that the corporation could impose right now would be to insist you had to have to give them the right to buy them back. Well, you wouldn't object to that as long as the price was fair. There are no other restrictions they could impose unless the legislation were changed.
Tom, couldn't the shareholders vote to
have different sorts of restrictions if they got a majority vote within the...
Yeah, they could vote to restrict the rights of non-native shareholders who buy in. That could be done, too.
Well, isn't there some restriction already in the Shumagin that they're non-voting shares?
You know, oh, well, right now...
That's
right. But that's in ANCSA. That applies to every corporation. That is, if you give your... in your will, you say that I want Johnny Doakes in Los Angeles to get these shares when I die, and he's has no native blood, then he gets the shares, but he can't vote. But after 1991, he could vote, unless legislation were passed to extend those restrictions. One of you asked me a question that you said, could the corporations divide up the land in 1991? Well, right now, they have the right to distribute 1.5-acre town site lots to their shareholders. Since 1980, they've had the right to do that. But as one of you gentlemen said, I think Mr. Gallivan said, well, who gets what lot? And the way they're doing it, and some village corporations, half a dozen, have distributed lots to their shareholders, 1.5-acre home site, town site lots. And the way they've done it is by lottery. You know, you just pull, if they have a subdivision, now this isn't, they're not selling it. They're giving it away to their shareholders, but that means they give it away to every shareholder. And that means the shareholders draw lots, and whoever draws first gets the first choice of lot. I mean, they draw straws, eh? And then the first one gets the first choice of lot and so on down the line. Then they can start trading and so on. That's the only way, right now, the corporations can distribute the land to the people, the thing that Mr. Osterbuck said he thought it was the whole idea in the beginning. Well, that's the way they can do that.
Questions asked of the board and the president, why don't the Shumagin Corporation give lots away like they do in other areas? The answer to that was, what good is a lot to someone a mile out of town in the tundra without a road, without improvements, without survey? So we thought it best that this be surveyed, furnished with electricity, roads, rough roads, sewer and water, and then sell it at the cost, which we did. This is neither here nor there, but I could criticize any corporation who gives land away, raw land, to some individual. What did they get? A piece of ground way out in a piece of swamp or something, for example, out back of the woods of Cordova or Kodiak or whatever.
And if it's within a... taxing authority, you might give them the privilege of paying taxes on it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. King Cole did they gave land to their shareholders up there.
I got another question I have is, say the Aleut Corporation is responsible for all the outlying corporations. Are all the outlying corporations going to say, okay, this is what we want of the Aleut Corporation in 1991, or is all the 12 big corporations going to take votes of everybody, and that's why it's going to be dedicated for all 12 or 13 corporations there are?
Well, I think all of that remains to be seen. It's a question of what people want to do, and I've been going around the state now for 8 months finding out what people want to do. And I'll write a report, and it'll be available to all the corporations, to the AFN, to the United Tribes of Alaska, the government, and so on and so forth. And I'll say what their complaints are, what they want to do, what they want to get out of this, and I'll recommend how you can get there. In a sense, after that, it's up to you. If it requires legislation, then it depends on what Congress is willing to do. But at least you have some time. 1991 is 7 years away, and that's means there is time to consider this and make some proposals that can help to solve it.
Yeah, one more question. What happens to a corporation when they have X many dollars in the bank, drawing X many dollars in interest? They don't have a possibility of investing, or they do not invest in a profitable enterprise, wherein the overhead, the salaries, and the office administrative overhead exceeds the interest, and we have a situation where they are losing money, and eventually they will go broke. What happens to these
places?
Well,
if a corporation goes broke today, its creditors seize the land to pay the debts. Now, no corporation has yet gone into bankruptcy, even though some of them have come perilously close, I'm told. But the Aleut Corporation or the Village Corporation, if it reached a point where it had no money and owed money, the people to whom it owed money could move in and claim its assets, including the land, to pay off the debt. It can happen today. You don't have to wait for 1991 for that.
It isn't beyond reason that, let's say, the Bank of Alaska or any big bank might own all this land that we thought we owned at one time.
It might turn out that way. Or the state might wind up owning it. Suppose the oil revenues from Prudhoe Bay decline in the 1990s. They've built up a big government establishment on this state, on the strength of oil revenues. They start looking around for new sources of revenue. As Mr. Osterbeck says, they talked about a property tax when he was in the State House. So they impose a property tax. Well, there's only three kinds of land in this state. There's the federal land. Well, the state can't tax that. There's state land. Well, they don't tax your own land. And then there's the native corporation land. And that's... and they might impose a tax on native corporation land. And if it isn't earning any money, then it's pretty hard to pay the tax on the land. Now, those are, worst-case scenarios. Nobody can foretell the future. Those are the things that people should be thinking about.
I think that of all the corporations in Alaska, we are probably the poorest insofar as we don't have a resource, a natural resource on the land as such.
You mean the Aleut Regional Corporation?
Anything west of the timber line in western Alaska. I can't imagine a resource on the land growing like timber. Mineral, that subsurface. Then, to go a little further, I would say that we were in the worst financial situation. Unless we invest our money in a good, profitable enterprise, we don't have a future.
Is that the view of the members of your board generally?
No, that's my personal view. Hmm. If you want to ask Mr. Gallivan, he might add to it.
You had a question, Mary.
What about making money by leasing the land? Mr. Gunderson was talking about Mr. Osterbeck was talking about cattle leasing, and then also for offices or homes or whatever as the city expands, because now you've got that whole expanded area out there. Is there any potential along those lines?
I guess that's our problem as members of the board. We meet and we talk of nothing but how are we going to make a buck, how are we going to be successful, keep this thing perpetual and make a few dollars. We haven't come up with the answer yet. And as far as cattle is concerned, they've tried that ever since your grandfather was young and mine was young, and nobody's been successful. They've grown old and died, and the cattle have died. They've had beef to eat, but not much to sell. That's how good this country is as far as cattle raising. I suppose Alvin could raise some for his own use, his own immediate family, but as far as it turning into a successful enterprise, nobody has done it, not on Sinek or not on Semenov. The beef are out there waiting to be slaughtered.
Well, I noticed in the airport a notice from the federal government saying there were 300 cattle out there if you wanted to go and get them. So if you haven't seen the notice, this is your chance.
There is a deadline, and the community is doing everything from every organization to forestay this for another year. Possibly we could utilize this, move them over to Anga or do something, or keep this so we could, instead of going to the mainland hunting caribou, we could go down there and hunt beef. We hope that we will get a year or two or three or a different situation, rather than the government spending money and coming down and slaughtering these and having to dispose of the bodies. There's quite a problem involved there. There's quite an expense to have these killed, and certainly they've got to be disposed of. They can't leave 600 bodies on Semenov. They've got to do something with them, and it's going to cost money. I'd rather they transported the bodies over here, wouldn't you, Alvin?
No.
Or the live bodies.
We're going to send them to Wendy's competition.
Okay, where's the beef?
We want to talk about these cattle, you know, up here. And I used to sell some before I got into legislator, but after you get into legislator and lawmaker, there is no excuse to say that you didn't know it had to be inspected. There was a stiff fine against it, so I didn't dare to sell any after that. So it cost you more to get an inspector out of Anchorage to come out here. You got to fly him in on Reeves, and you want to kill a few beef. By the time you paid his way out and his way back again, you would be broke. So they got you tied up there. Now they put a $2.80 a head on grazing lease on each beef. So if you got 100 or over 100 beef, you're looking at $2,000-$3,000 grazing permit. And it's just not in the cards. I mean, what you gonna do with it?
They charge you so much a head?
I tell
you. Well, fishing is the main industry here. Is there?
They never done it to you. They caught up with me. If you got a grazing, you don't have to pay so much a head. You can have up to so many. Yeah. So you have to go kill them. We got to fly up and check out and count them. Oh, yeah. You get over grazing, you have to count. No, but it's
$2
and 80 cents or 60 cents a head right now on any of these islands.
For grazing?
Yeah. A month. Runs into money when you go through the year.
Fishing is the main industry here. Is there anything that the corporation can do that's connected somehow with promoting that fishing industry? I mean, if nothing else, it would help, you know, the main economy of the whole village.
I would say that Bob Gallivan is the superintendent down the plant down here. It takes every ounce of expertise and experience and whatever it takes to operate that at a profit. No way are a bunch of us going down there and operate that thing. You can go and extend that to the boats. I own my boat personally. I've had 51 years of experience, and it takes every bit of my experience and know-how to make a profit in this business. So when you talk about a group of people making money in a fishing venture or a processing venture, the efficiency is not there.
But these are the same. I mean, you're talking about people like yourself who are shareholders and are experienced in this. I mean, this is the expertise and the experience.
We can do this for ourselves, but very seldom does a cooperative where a whole group of people with their noses and their fingers in the business, very seldom are they successful. It has a certain degree of inefficiency, like socialism.
I had another question too, and I've talked about this a little bit with the people here. What about any kind of a merger? That's been discussed occasionally, right? Between UNGA and SNAC and Shumigin. What are the reasons why that is not a feasible thing?
I think the membership is the biggest thing. I don't know how many memberships are in the SNAC and in UNGA Corporation, but there's over 400 in this one. So I don't know what they'd have to offer us as the Shumigin Corporation, where we probably have more to offer them. I don't know. This is, we've talked about it a little bit, but we never really got into the finance of the thing. But how many are in your corporation?
26.
Hear from the UNGA Corporation. I don't. There isn't many in that one either.
Not much more than that.
More than that. No, I doubt it too. Maybe.
I was told there were 56 or so in the UNGA.
Oh, that's surprising.
See, a number of people, as I was talking to people around town, mentioned that the idea of a merger had been brought up and been rejected.
Yeah, I don't know from whose side. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not that new in the corporation. So I mean, I'm new in the corporation, but I haven't been about a year as a director, so I'm not sure what was brought up prior.
Started with that store or something they were going to build up. They were all merging together for a while there. But never did come to nothing.
Did they start up a store?
No, they never did start. They were talking about doing it once, so. And they all merged together, but never did come to nothing. So.
You started, too, with a flying service at one time, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was before my time.
Yeah, David. I don't know who was in there.
What happened to the flying service?
They merged with some guy in Anchorage, and it didn't seem to work out, and they crashed a plane up there what they had no permission to use. They were going to haul the company, you know, what they merged with. They were going to fly refrigerators up to Nome, and they had that warm spell up there, and it crashed into somebody's house right off the airport. And I guess they had a big lawsuit on their hands, and I think it dissolved there, so far as I know.
That was the
Shumigin Corporation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they bought out Charlie Barnes here, I believe it was, his assets after he passed away, you know, state or whatever it is. And they didn't. I know they wound up in a lawsuit anyway, and they got out of it, I guess, and lost some money on it.
Mrs. McCallum, did you want to say something? You're on the wrong side of the aisle there.
Well, I just think of questions. I don't really have anything to add, but a question occurred to me. What would you care to give an opinion on? What is the biggest responsibility of the corporations to their shareholders?
Well, right now, that's easy. Under the law, their biggest responsibility to their shareholders is to stay in business and make a profit. And they may not be making a profit, but at least they're staying in business. So there's the possibility in the future of making a profit and paying some dividends. I mean, it's all very simple. If you're sitting in Washington, D.C. and thinking about this, you say, instead of giving them the land, as Mr. Osterbach said, everybody gets so much land and so much money, they said, these people have to get organized. They have to become businessmen. So we'll give the land to corporations and make them shareholders in the corporations. That's why we're here.
It's just like any other corporation in the world, is it not, where the primary responsibility of the president and the board of directors is to take care of the financial health and the continuity of the corporation. It's the same as the board of directors say, we're not going to declare a dividend any more than I go up and I say, I'm not going to give a pint of my blood because I'm not quite that healthy. And if I do, maybe I'll lose my health. So I don't think, I learned in law school where no way under the world are you forced to make a dividend unless the shareholders force the board of directors and the president to do that.
Well, the shareholders really can't force them to do it. If they don't do it, they can vote them out, but that's really all they can do.
Or make it miserable for them.
They do that already.
Can the shareholders, if they come up with a vote over 51%, get the dividends?
You declare a dividend or we won't vote. No, we'll kick you out.
Two-thirds, or whatever it takes, yeah. I mean, if they get 100% or something. I think they done that in Nunga, didn't they, and got their dividends there? So Andrew Foster told me they paid out $2,600 or something.
No, he never did. He never worked on it, but never come back.
Oh, he never did? Hmm. Huh. I was going to ask you a question here before. Forget about it. This bill you're talking about, that has to be in Congress or in the state before 1991
well,
to change the law?
If you wanted to change the law, the place to get it changed would be Congress.
The state wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Well, the state would have some things to do with it, but Congress started this thing off, and I think they would still have authority to reorganize ANCSA. If they said, no, we're not going to touch it, then you could go to the state and ask them to amend their corporation law. But I think that the jurisdiction of Congress is much clearer than the jurisdiction of the state to reorganize the act. Now, it depends what you want to do. You people I've been asking you, what do you want to do? You've said, well, it looks like the best thing to do after 1991 is to sell my shares. Then I'll get a little bit of cash, assuming I can find somebody to buy them, and don't restrict my right to sell. That's the implication in what you've said to me. If I misunderstand you, or if some of you want to express an opinion on that whole subject, go ahead.
I think that could stand the way of this, unless you or someone can advise us as to how else we could realize something, some good from this, maybe dollars, before we die. No, maybe the gentleman up in front can elaborate on that.
Well, look, there's a misconception in a way about Alaska. I spent 3 years looking at native land claims in the Canadian Arctic, and now I've been here for a year, and in many places in the Arctic and subarctic regions of North America, economic possibilities are limited. In many of the villages I've been to, people live by subsistence hunting and fishing, and there is very little cash earned in those villages. There may be some welfare payments, old age pensions, and permanent fund, and so on, but that's about it. And the idea that these corporations would get their money and maybe open a car dealership or something was an idea that could never work because you don't have, in these small places, you don't have the market, you don't have the kind of economy that can support that activity. So what I've been doing around the state is just asking people, well, what do you want to do? Now, many of those villages where people rely on subsistence, hunting and fishing, they say, well, at least let us hang on to the land. We don't care if we never get a nickel out of this. We haven't gotten anything yet, and we don't expect we'll get anything, but at least figure out a way to hang on to the land so we don't lose the land. Now, You're asking a slightly different question. You're saying, well, is there any way we can get a return on this thing? And in terms of a cash payment or individual land, well, in terms of a cash payment, Congress decided against that. They said, let the corporations pay dividends. And if they don't earn any money, you won't get any dividends. As far as land is concerned, if you've got a subsistence village in the Bethel region, no one's interested in getting his own 1.5-acre lot out in the tundra, as you point out. What good's it to you? But they want that land to be held collectively for future generations for purposes of subsistence activities. That's what they want. Now, here, the questions that you're asking are a little bit different.
I might add that you compare the Shumigan Corporation with a private corporation like RCA or some IBM or that. When the man gets old, he says, well, I'm going to retire, I'm going to sell my stocks and bonds, and I'm going on a vacation, period. In our corporation, we have until 1991. We can do this, but there seems to be strong feeling opposed to this for good reasons. They're afraid that maybe some big corporation will buy out the Shumigan Corporation, and the people who initially were to derive some good, live on their own land for the rest of their lives or whatever, would realize they have their own land and so forth. So there's pros and cons, and I still personally haven't got the right answers as to what should be done, what shouldn't be done. Probably there should be some legislation, some provisions before 1991 whereby we wouldn't lose all this and still somehow not have our cake and eat it too, but still change this situation just a little bit to so we can realize some good of it. The bottom line is start a business and make money. But that's still to be seen.
We have a couple of people in here, and I recognized Andrew Granholt. And here's somebody that I don't know.
Jerry Galvin.
Jerry Galvin. And
Scotty Cumberledge.
Well, we've been having a good discussion. I'm here. My name is Tom Berger, by the way, and I'm conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission. And I'm here to learn what you think about the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, how it worked out, the good points and the bad points, and where do we go from here. And to summarize what's been said here for the last hour and a half, there's been more bad points brought up than good points. But that's just the way these people feel about it. But yes, Mr. Osterbeck.
I believe Andrew Brennan, you're still on the Elliott Corporation?
Yeah, in that board of directors or whatever. So maybe he can tell us something what's going on in that neighborhood.
Maybe we can get the good news from you, sir. Perhaps you could give us your name and tell us a little bit about this. Mr. Osterbeck was talking about how he was involved in the very early days, and if you can bring us up to date, that would be very good.
I was never involved with any of the process. My part was just being a director in the Elliott Corporation.
Well, you're still a director, are you?
Yeah.
Some of the questions that we've been discussing here relate really to, nobody put it this way, but they were really, I think, questioning the suitability of the whole idea of setting up corporations as the vehicles for the land claim settlement. Then we had some discussion about whether or not people should or would or could sell their shares after 1991. Mr. Osterbeck, I think, discussed the question of taxation of land 20 years after conveyance. Would you like to comment on any or all of those issues?
I'd like to ask a question on that taxation of land. I understood it to be only if it's developed.
Well, right now, the land the native corporations hold cannot be taxed unless it's developed. So if it's undeveloped, just sitting out there with nothing happening, it can't be taxed. But 20 years after the Aleut Corporation receives its land, then, and that'll be sometime after 1991, that is, after 1991, the land can be taxed even if it's undeveloped.
Oh, I see.
Even if it's just used for subsistence or not used at all. But even if it doesn't generate any income to pay a tax, it can still be taxed after 1991 by city government, borough government, or by the state if the state were to impose a tax.
The problem ahead of us now is to see how we can prolong that, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, could you explain what you mean?
Well, I had in the lines of see, right now we do not have all the lands conveyed, so it says after the land is conveyed, and I was thinking about maybe until all the land, 20 years after all the land is conveyed, and that may bring us down another 20 years. That may be one solution.
Yeah, I think right now it applies to each parcel. As each parcel is conveyed, then the 20 years starts to run. But
now it suggests they start land claims all over again.
Well, if you were starting...
They're much smarter now.
If you were starting it all over again, how would you do it then?
I would eliminate all the little corporations and had just each regional corporation, and because there's too much infighting. Everybody thought, oh man, it's a good idea, you know, but as soon as the greenbacks start showing up, attitudes changed right away.
You think the main change then that you would make will put all the land in this region in the Aleut Regional Corporation.
Yeah.
What about sale of shares then? Would you go, would you have this idea of a shareholding corporation with the possibility of people selling their shares, or how would you handle that?
Oh, I don't know. I think it would be each individual has his own idea. If the corporation is not going to make any money just handing out $100 every year or something like that or less, I don't think people's going to hang on to it. You take, for instance, $100 a year for you. There's people running the corporation, just one guy to equal his pay. It would take one stockholder 800 years to acquire the same amount of money. Right?
Well, I no doubt you are right.
So they'll be sitting here expecting $100 every year, and well, a lot of them has never happened every year. It's only in the later years that some of them have been paying a dividend. And the Aleut Corporation is one of the fortunate ones. We've been paying now for a third year, I think.
What is the size of the dividend you've been paying?
Well, it's been $100
a year.
I mean, this year it's going up another 10. So we're showing some improvement.
What are the projects of the Aleut Corporation that are earning money, thus enabling you to pay a dividend now?
Mostly real estate.
Buying and selling or renting or?
No. Subdivisions mostly, making subdivisions.
Where are the
Matanuska Valley mainly. We had freighting vessels, they didn't make any money. We had fishing vessel, they didn't make any money. So we kind of put well, got out of the business and fishing and.
Well, that one's making you some money, isn't it? That one boat Eduardo's running or not?
Not when you figure it all out to the last dime.
It's not right. Too much expense.
A lot of it is paper money.
Yeah, I see.
But hard cash, it's not there.
Well, okay, one of the one thing that you're making money out of now is subdivisions in the Matanuska Valley.
Well, I wouldn't say that's all of it. We're fortunate. We have quite a bit of our own cash from the land claim settlement, and I think we have most of it working in the bank for us.
Well, one of the things that people, wherever I go, seem to think this settlement was supposed to do was to provide jobs for them. And some corporations have tried to provide jobs locally, not an easy thing to do. Others have done what your regional corporation has done and said, well, let's go to Anchorage and buy a hotel or put up a subdivision. But that doesn't generate employment locally. What are your thoughts about that?
You gotta hold this.
You hold it.
Do you care to comment on that, sir? I know it's a tough question.
Say it again.
Well, I've been to 30 villages and towns now, and heard from all kinds of people who are shareholders in these corporations, mm-hmm. and just about everywhere they're complaining, not so much about their own leadership or anything of that sort, but just the way the thing was set up. They feel, general feeling is that it was set up in such a way that it was almost impossible to make it work to their benefit. But one of the complaints they have, that hasn't been raised here today, but I'm just asking you about it, is they say, well, we thought we were supposed to get jobs in our local village, in our town through this, but they're giving jobs to people in Anchorage. They're putting up subdivisions in Matanuska Valley. What do you say to that?
After all, the Aleut Corporation is a business venture, and it has to make money. And they put out job descriptions, and those kind of people are not out there. And you're talking about village. That's up to the village corporation, more likely to generate a little bit. But they've tried it in Alaska, and absenteeism is you just can't do it.
That's construction work you're talking about.
Right. No, any kind of a job. The Alaska Corporation tried it. The Aleut Corporation has a couple of businesses out there, and they tried it, and they'll come to work for about 2 weeks, and then they start slacking off, and they don't come at all. Yet they holler for a job. So I don't know how you're going to handle that.
Yeah. Well, would either of you gentlemen, would you like to say something, sir?
Should I give any comment?
No.
Yeah, we've been talking about selling out our shares if it don't go through legislation that pass legislation that we can't. Now, the stock we get is from the Aleut Corporation, right? Well, who's in charge of it? I know the papers I get come from the Aleut Corporation whenever I get. So if you were going to sell, who would buy it? The Aleut Corporation, the Shoemaking Corporation?
It would buy back.
You have shares in the corporation and the Shoemaking Corporation.
But I think Mr. Osterbeck is asking about the buyback. Does Aleut Corporation take the view that it... Did it not have the right to buy back?
I don't think they've come to that conclusion yet. I think they're waiting for this AFN powwow they're having down the line here and then see what's going to happen there. But I think if a corporation have to buy back, I don't think they're going to have enough money.
Yeah, that's a good point. So then if there's no buyback, the choice really is, are people going to be allowed to sell their shares, or is the present arrangement under which they can't sell their shares simply to be continued indefinitely?
Yeah, another thing is, how are you going to put a fair value on the share when you don't know what the land is worth? So that's something else you have to look ahead. So it's not going to be an easy thing.
No.
Well, if the person wanted to sell,
sell to the highest bidder, so that would probably take care of itself if you knew what you were going to sell. But like, say we got $2 million or $3 million in the Shoemaking Corporation. I don't know what we got in the Aleut Corporation. But if a guy wanted to sell, what would happen to that money in there? Would he get his share out of it, whatever he's supposed to have?
Do you want to explain that?
Well, sure, they're going to go broke, but if they don't go broke and I don't get any money out and I sold, what a couple $1 million you got in here, what's going to happen to that?
Well, I would suggest that you put a little pressure on the board of directors and see if they'd fork out a little dough every year.
Well,
It changes attitude, you know.
If you... Okay.
Yeah, excuse me. We're trying to.
Yeah,
sit over here, Mr. Osterbeck. You're leading the discussion here, and
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Well, you were about to sell your shares and become very wealthy. That's where we left you.
Well, no. What I was talking about, you know, what will happen with the money, what